I'm going to finish this prophetic timetable today. I will. If you've sort of picked up on some of this stuff and you think, well, I've not got it into that much depth. I did do 16 sessions last year and they're all on the website. You can actually listen to them all if you're part of the church. If you're not, you can download them. But they're all there and they go into it in much more depth. Jeremy has very kindly transcribed a lot of that stuff into the blog, Sons of Issachar. So you can also read there a lot of the stuff that was brought in this prophetic timetable. But I do want to just set the scene for what's coming next. We're going to be looking and the whole thing today about the fire of God coming, presence of God coming in this way, is because there is going to be an increase of the presence of God and a transferring from the presence of God to the glory of God. And we need to be ready for that. Because when the glory of God comes and you're not ready, you just don't get consumed. Things consume you as well. And God wants us to be ready for what's coming. So we've been looking at this. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. Everything I prophesied has come true, and now I prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. God is still prophesying the future. We have it in the Word of God, but God has not stopped speaking. So there's a lot of things that aren't in the Word of God. They're based on the Word of God, but God is continuing to speak today. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servant, the prophet. So prophetic revelation is a key. Daniel 12:4, talking about here when these things would start to take place. Daniel concealed these words and sealed up the book until the end of time, and when many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. And I would guess that we're in a time where many are going back and forth and knowledge is certainly increased. So that things are now going to be open. So when those prophetic books are being opened, we need the sons of Issachar revelatory understanding to be able to see what God is saying and to understand the signs and the seasons that we're in so that we can outwork those things. And therefore, sons of Issachar will discern and understand and identify the seasons and receive prophetic revelation of what is to come. And we'll know what to do, because it's great knowing what's coming, but if you don't know what to do about it, then you're going to be stuck. So God wants to show us what is it we need to do. Therefore, we've got to be ready and prepared for the timetable of events that is coming. Some of it's already here, some of it's coming. And this is where we got up to last week, in terms of the shaking of the world systems. And in that shaking of the world systems, the church being raised up as the mountain of the house of the Lord. Okay, so that's what we've looked at so far. And today we're going to look at final harvest, Jesus returns, and the age to come. So not a lot. But I will be quick. Hills and mountains, world systems shaken. When that happens, and we've seen some of it just in the financial shaking that's taken place over the last couple of years. And that is just a little tremor compared to what shaking there's come about. People start to lose confidence in those systems to meet their needs because the world looks to the things of the world to bring them confidence and security. So when that financial system fails and falls and is fully shaken, those who do not operate in the kingdom economic system and are able to access the things of God, like Jesus said, if you need to pay taxes to Peter, go and get that fish, and in the fish's mouth was a coin. Supernatural provision. See, that's the sort of stuff that the people of God will be operating in when the world system starts to fall about, when God's provision starts to come. The medical system. Actually, when there are genetically modified viruses released and there are plagues that no one can cure, where are people going to come? To the church who is protected from those plagues and is bringing healing and freedom through people. Those things will come. All the other systems. The media system. Can you imagine no media? No electronic media? No electrical systems? It could happen. One EM pulse could destroy every bit of technology there is in the world. What would happen then? Science and technology will have no answers when certain things start to happen in the heavenly realms and certain things start to engage this realm. which will put them in a place where they have got no way to answer the situations. The business system, education system, all the governance systems will fail when they get shaken. But the true church will have supernatural answers. And that's where we've got to get to. We have to be the true church and with supernatural answers to the world's problems so that they come. So we're going to look what happens then. In the midst of that, we're going to see a final harvest. We're going to see the harvest of laborers, supernatural ministers of God in power, bringing in the harvest from the world. And in that, there will be a final separation of the wheat and the tares. So there will be not just a final harvest of souls coming into the kingdom, then there will be a separation where actually everything is harvested out of the world. And we'll look at that a little bit. Genesis 1:41-57. People of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. That is a picture of what's going to happen in these days to the storehouses of God. People are going to come because there is nothing in the earth to be able to feed them anymore. Isaiah 2:2, it will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills, all the other authority structures. Nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and we may walk in his paths. People are going to come because we're going to have answers. But we need to have the answers, and we need to be living in them. Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So the tares, those who are not believers, will be gathered up at the end of the age. In verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come forth, take out from the wicked from among the righteous. So who is taken out of the world first? Wicked or righteous? Wicked. Okay, remember that. And we'll throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, after that, at that time of that final harvest, Jesus is going to return. Now, when Jesus returns, I want to teach what he taught. And it's really important that you get what Jesus taught about that day. He described it as the last day. Acts 3:19. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Now it's really important to get hold of this. There is coming a time of true repentance where people will be turning to God. That is the harvest that's coming. Now that needs to take place so that Jesus can come. Jesus won't come before that's taken place. This is what this scripture is saying. Then it goes on to say that he won't come until the restoration of all things. So until every prophetic word that's in the word of God and is being prophesied now has come to pass, Jesus will stay in heaven. But Jesus will return when those things have been restored. So it's important that we actually get hold of the revelation that actually Jesus is not just going to turn up until the end. So we've got a lot of stuff that needs to happen before the end. John 6:40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. So the last day must be the day of resurrection, when people who believe in Jesus will be resurrected. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So the last day is also the day of judgment for those who do not believe in Jesus. So there's two things that happen on the last day. Day of resurrection for believers, day of resurrection for unbelievers. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, as I said, they will judge him on the last day. The last day is the day of judgment. The last day is the last day. No more days. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the last day, would it? So, no more days after the last day, no 7 years after the last day, no 1,000 years after the last day, no two-part rapture after the last day. It's the last day, the end of time as we know it. Now get hold of that, because there's been forests of trees chopped down, made into books, talking about a whole load of stuff that isn't going to happen. A waste of trees. You know, when I was growing up, eschatology, the study of the end times, was the big thing in the 60s. And I studied it, and I read books and books and books about when this was happening and when that was going to happen and when Jesus was going to return and all this stuff. None of it happened. And all the people they said it was going to be, it never was. So it's just a waste of time. Actually, Jesus made it really simple. Last day. Day of resurrection for believers and unbelievers. Day of judgment for believers, unbelievers. The believers go to the judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers to the great right throne. I've been to the judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to wait for judgment day to go there, because we have access into the heavenly realms now. So you can access that. Unbelievers to the great white throne. Now, this is what Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Each one in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, so he was the first one resurrected, and there were those with him who came out of the grave, if you read in Matthew, that wandered around Jerusalem for a while, probably freaking a lot of people out at the time. And those who are at Christ's coming. So when Christ comes, there will be people made alive. And then comes the end. The end. When he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So Jesus is coming when everything has been put under his feet, when he is ruling. And that means, who are his feet? The church, body of Christ, are his feet, so they have to be placed under our authority on the earth. Matthew 13:30. Allow both to grow. This is talking about the wheat and the tares. Until the harvest, and in the end of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares. So the tares get gathered up first, bind them into bundles, burn them up, gather the wheat into my barn. So first the tares. So in this scripture, in Matthew 24:40, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one left. Who is going to be taken? Believer or unbeliever? Unbeliever. Not what has been taught, but very clear from what Jesus taught. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One taken, one left. Unbeliever taken, then believers taken. I don't think there's going to be much difference between one or another, to be honest. But actually, it's all going to happen on that last day. The last day of Jesus on earth, Acts 1:9. After he had said these things, he was lifted up. Wow, Jesus was levitated. So Jesus levitated. Woo! Actually, people are being levitating today in Christian circles, because God is doing the same things that he did to Jesus through his people. And there's recent testimony of someone who was preaching in front of a big meeting, suddenly started hovering around, freaked a whole lot of people out. Because they're not ready for the supernatural things that God says he's going to do. We need to be ready. It says, while he was lifted up, they were looking on. So all the disciples were looking, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, we think cloud, big white fluffy thing in the sky. Actually, this was the cloud of witnesses that it talks about in Hebrews. All the past saints were there as a cloud of witnesses to receive Jesus up into heaven. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, he was going to behold two men in white clothing stood by them. They weren't angels. They were men in white clothing, men in white linen, there to affirm what was going on in the sky, in the heavens. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. So he's coming back in a cloud of witnesses. And we'll see that as a scripture. Last day that Jesus is in heaven as we know it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. So everyone who's been a believer, they will rise and get resurrection bodies first. Okay, then we who are alive and caught up, so all the unbelievers get taken, all the resurrected people who are Christians get new bodies, and we who are still alive at the end of the day, and I want to be alive when Jesus returns, don't know about you, but I want to see it all happen, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds of witnesses, that we will become part of the cloud of witnesses. That's what we're going to see place, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. So that's how it will happen. That's how Jesus said it would happen, and then you look, and this is what Paul said it would happen in the same way. So what happens after that? Now this is the bit you don't want to be involved in. Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne, him who sat upon it. And this is the last day, because this is the judgment. From whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, no place was found for them, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. That's the book of the testimony. The book of life was opened to see who was in it. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So anybody who is not a believer will have to answer for everything that's recorded in those books of their life. And there's everything in there. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up dead who were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. It's like, I don't want to be there. Fortunately, I'm not going to be there. But actually, there's a lot of people will if they reject Jesus. That's what happens at the Great White Throne. But for those who are believers, what will happen? 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, good or bad. And this is not sin. This is about us fulfilling our destiny and whether our life and the scroll of our life is comparable to what God ordained and what we agreed with before the foundation of the world. There's a comparison that goes on. I've actually been there and actually seen this and seen my scroll opened. And you can listen to that on some of the things that I've taught before. And actually, it is a scary place to face the fire of God's presence and the fiery eyes of God's presence. People were saying they were seeing some of that today. It shook me. Literally, I was shaking when I saw that scroll open, both front and back, to see all the things I'd done in my own strength. And all the things I'd done in God's strength, which were great, but in all the opportunities I'd missed. And there was a whole load of them that God showed me. This is something that we will have to go through, but we can go through it now so that we're ready for that judgment. We can get our scroll lined up with what God has for us. 1 Corinthians 3:12 explains it. Now, if any man builds on the foundation, which is Christ in us, with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. When you come to the judgment seat, the fire of God's presence is there, which actually reveals the nature of our lives as Christians. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Done in God's strength, done in our own strength. That's what it's testing. Gold, silver, precious stones is all the things we do in God's strength. Wood, hay, and stubble, all the things we do in our own strength. If any man's work which is built on remains, he will receive a reward. So there are rewards in that last day which will go on into eternity for the things we have done in this time. If any man's work remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. So there will be a loss of eternal destiny if we do not fulfill it here and now and prepare for that time. We will be saved, but only as through fire. No, I don't want that. I want to see the things that God has called me to do fulfilled so that I will have my eternal reward. Because in heaven, there are different places in heaven. And actually, if we're just getting there by fire and we have no testimony to build on and no rewards, then we end up in the outer courts in darkness. Now, after all this takes place, what happens then? Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Everything gets brought back into its original created order, and God, the first heaven and earth will pass away. There will be no longer any sea. Those of you who like boats, sorry guys. Saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Paul talking about the church. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. You see, we're not going to live in a place called heaven. God is coming to live with us in his created order. That's what's going to happen. Now, it does say here, and we need to get hold of this, they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning, or crying, or pain, for the first things have passed away. So everything that's of Satan and sin will be contained in time. That's why time was created, to contain Satan and sin. When that's done away with, there will be no longer any memory of it. It will cease to exist. So we will not remember any previous sin or anything of Satan. But there is this period where if we do suffer that loss from the rewards, there's a time where there are tears and suffering of loss, which when that's finished, again, that is finished. Time was made to contain and restrict Satan. It's really important that we understand this, because time is a finite thing. Can't go into the quantum understanding of it right now, but it is a finite thing and it will come to an end. When it's been wrapped up, there will be no remembrance. See, we came out of eternity as spirit beings, and we will return to live in eternity as spirit beings. The age to come. That's what it is. Eternity. We have to prepare now for the rewards of what we will be doing then. The outer court talks about a place of darkness. The inner court, throne of God, and on. And there will be rewards given and functions that we have in eternity depending on what we've done with our scroll here and now. That's why it's important to get it sorted. Now I want to finish just by talking about the parables that are in Matthew 25. There were parables of warning that we need to take note of so that we can be ready and be prepared. There were 10 virgins, a parable, who had oil. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were prudent. There were also things about talents and rewards. God gave 10 talents, and it's not talking about gifts, it was talking about money, talents, but it was just representative of our life. He has given us certain things in our lives, a testimony, scroll, to outwork. Those talents will bring rewards if we fulfill them. Separation of the sheep and goats. First, Matthew 25:1, and you can read these scriptures yourself. You probably know the story. 5 foolish virgins didn't have any oil in their lamp when Jesus came back, when the master was to return. And they were like shocked. And Jesus says in verse 11, the later the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. And he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. So actually, we need to be ready for when Jesus returns, which means being ready and fulfilling everything that God's done. And we'll look at more of that when we look at being transformed. The master gave 10, 5, and 1 talent to certain servants. Verse 19, after a long time, master of the servants came, settled accounts with them. The one who'd received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. How many want to be in charge of a few galaxies? which contain each galaxy, contains 400 billion stars sometimes. It's a lot of stuff that God will want us to be involved with in that time. But we have to learn how to be faithful with the things that he's given us now. If we're faithful with little things, we will be faithful with much. What happened? Well, the guy who had one says, I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. So all this person did was, okay, this is what you gave me, have it back. There was no multiplication or outworking of it. And this is what Jesus says. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to at least put the money in the bank, and on my arrival I would receive my money back with interest. No, you should have done something with your life. What happened? Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has many, has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he who has an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not hell. That's talking about the outer courts in the heavenly realms. Okay, here's another parable. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on the right, goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to be amongst that lot. If you're not, verse 45, then he answered, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, and he went into the criteria for what Jesus had called people to do, these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So if you're part of the goats, you go to eternal punishment in hell forever, separated from God. Your spirit will go back to eternity, but your soul, with the remembrance, will live on forever. You don't need to do that. No one needs to go into that place. Now, this is what happens. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she will be blameless and holy and blameless. That is what Jesus wants to find when he comes back. A church who is without spot, wrinkle, and any of that stuff. Hence, there has to be some transformation that takes place. Hence, the next series of teaching I'm going to do is about transformation. How do we get rid of the spots? How do we get rid of the wrinkles? How do we deal with the things which are not there, which are there making us unholy and not blameless? Because God wants to come and return for that. So we need to be ready and prepared. Okay. If you do not know Jesus today, you need to surrender your life to him. Otherwise, you're going to spend an eternity separated from him in hell. You know, we don't like talking about things like that. But that is the reality of what Jesus said. It's like, you don't need to go there. You can surrender your life to him today. And before you go, if you do not know Jesus, because he is coming back. And if he comes back and you're not prepared, you're going to be taken up and bundled away. If you are prepared, then you're going to be taken up to be with him forever. We need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. If we know him, to be ready, to be willing to be manifest as sons of God to the world. Now, there's a whole load more, you know, in that teaching. If you want to listen to that, listen to the stuff that I've already done. But we need to be ready, guys. Jesus is coming. It's like some people were taken unawares because they were foolish and didn't have oil in their lamps. In other words, they didn't have the presence and power of God fully living in their lives. So let's be those who are willing to surrender our lives to the preparation so that we can be manifest in this world as true sons of God. And then on to eternity, living as sons of God, doing the things that Jesus did. Because that is our destiny in eternity. Amen?